Amen. Well, if you love Jesus this morning, why don't you put your hands together and give him some praise? Hallelujah. He is worthy of every ounce of praise we have to give. We are here and breathing and alive. We stand on the edge of a brand new year. There are many that didn't make it, but you are one of the ones who did. And so God's got purpose for your life, and I praise him this morning for the word. I am excited to wrap up this series of What Child Is This? Isaiah 9:6. And we could preach that until Jesus comes back. But we're going to conclude it today, and then we'll jump back into 1 Corinthians next week. So I'm going to pray, and we'll see what the Lord has to say. Father, you are High King of Heaven. God, this morning we are here for you. God, we are here to encounter the Prince of Peace. And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would illuminate our hearts, illuminate the text. God, hide me behind the cross. God, anoint the words that come out of my mouth, God, to your people, to your children, your sons and daughters. God, every person here, from the youngest to the oldest, God, may you just captivate us with truth this morning. God, we get fed a whole bunch of mess and a whole bunch of stuff that does not satisfy, but the word always satisfies because you are the bread of life. And when we drink of you and eat of you, Father, we never hunger or thirst again. You've got that power and ability. So this morning, God, we're pressing into it. We're pressing into all that you are. Father, dwell amongst us today and allow us to be a time that we've never seen before and just experience you in a whole new way because you love us so much. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is the foundation and the springboard from which we will go. I do want to read it again for us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." We looked at that. "His name shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, I think this is very fitting for us today because you do stand at the cusp of a new year, 2019. And as Adam said, we make the resolutions. You looked in the three-way mirror, right? And there's something about you that you want to improve, something about you that you want to change. But what I would suggest to you this morning is that you shouldn't rely on the black eyed peas and the collard greens for the luck for 2019, because all you might get is indigestion. I'm just saying. But you need something greater than that. And I think this message is perfect for all of us because you're going to come in contact with days and moments and seasons throughout the year where you need the Prince of Peace to be very real in your life. You need his presence. You need the peace that he gives and only he gives. And so I think this is very fitting for us to end 2018, to jump into 2019, because God, his name is Prince of Peace. That is what he is. Now, when you hear the term peace, many things come to mind. Oftentimes when we hear peace, we think of the definition of tranquility, of oneness, of wholeness, right? Of this emotion or feeling that we get, this feeling of peace, nostalgia, whatever it is. But I want you to hear me plain and clear. Peace, true peace, it's not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it is a person. Peace is Jesus. If you don't catch anything else I say this morning, understand that peace is a person. That person has a name, and it is Jesus. That is the peace that we're going after this morning. And even greater than that, that is the peace that actually ran us down and has overtaken us. That peace is Jesus. And so you can search for peace in many different things. You can search for peace in people. In substance, you can smoke it up, try to drink it up, lay it up. You can try to meditate all you want and become one with the universe. But when you get done being one with the universe and you come down out of the clouds, there's still going to be stuff waiting for you. There's still going to be issues of life waiting for you. There's still going to be things there, bills there, chaotic relationships that are waiting for you, bitterness that you got to deal with, dealing with health issues, unresolved conflict. These things are still going to be there if you don't address it with the true peace that only Jesus gives. You can spin your wheels, but you'll never find it if you miss Jesus. You're going to need more than a feeling. You're going to need the Prince of Peace. But here's what I know too. Not everybody enjoys peace. Not everybody enjoys it. You know folk in your life. It's like, what is wrong with you? It's like you thrive off of chaos and craziness. And it's like they just don't want peace. Not everybody wants or enjoys peace or wants you to have peace. And you come in contact with this with people in your life and folks that you work with or relatives. And it's just like you're missing something. You want chaos. The Bible lets us know this, that in Isaiah 48:22, that there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. For the wicked, there is no peace. The Bible lets us know, too, that the sins of the wicked separates them from God. Isaiah 59:2. There's also sometimes a lack of peace for the troubled believer, for the troubled disciple. See, even faithful disciples can become troubled when we get wrapped up in the cares and the worries of this life. And let's be real, the temptation is there. It's there for you. I don't care how long you've been saved. The temptation to get wrapped up in the cares and the worries of this life are there knocking at the door. They're there waiting. And we see this in Luke chapter 10 where you've got Mary and Martha. And Martha is troubled. Martha is troubled because she's up being busy. She's stirring around the house. Jesus is there. He's got a crowd and folks got to be fed. Folks got to be taken care of. And Martha's stirring and doing. But she looks at her homegirl, Mary, and she's just chilling. She's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's like, look, girl, there's a whole bunch of people here. Folk got to get fed, taken care of. We got to be busy. And Jesus says, oh, no. Hold on a second. Here's what's happened. See, Martha, you've gotten caught up with the cares and the worries of life trying to entertain. But Mary, she's grasping of the most important thing, and we're not going to take that from her. She is sitting at my feet and listening to me and is resting and is at peace. She's not denying the greater thing. It is easy for us to be troubled and get caught up with the cares of this life. You can choose the thing that keeps you in a hurry, or you can choose the thing that keeps you healthy. You can choose the thing that keeps you in a hurry and keeps you busy, or you can choose the thing that keeps you healthy. And understand this, when it comes to the busy, crazy pace of life, the things that try to steal your joy, there is an enemy, and he does want to steal your peace. But oftentimes we look at our life and we look at things that might come under attack, and we think that, oh, well, Satan's trying to take this thing, as if Satan needs to take your house because he needs a place to live. Well, Satan broke my car down, as if he needs your car. Or as if he needs your bank account. He doesn't need your stuff. What he wants to steal from you is your peace of mind. Your peace of mind. And if your peace dwells in your stuff, when he takes your stuff, he'll take your peace. And so our peace cannot be wrapped up in things, in material things that will be fleeting and eventually fall away. But he does want to get after our peace of mind. But the beautiful news is that Jesus came to bring us peace. He came to bring it, and it is foretold. And this is incredible, and I love history. And it's just amazing when you look at Scripture and how it links through spans of time, through centuries, and it is all connected. And Isaiah, as we know, foretold the coming of Christ 700 years before he came. It was foretold by Isaiah in this messianic prophecy in Isaiah 9:6 that we read. It was also foretold by Zacharias when his son John was born. He says, listen, John, you're going to be the forerunner of this Christ child. You're going to go and pave the way for him, but he's the star, not you. It's foretelling of the coming of Christ to bring peace. And we also see it in Luke chapter 2 with the heavenly host of how they show up to these shepherds on a hill. They say that peace has come. They foretell it. But Jesus also came to bring peace as proclaimed by himself to his disciples in John 14, 27. He says something incredible, and we're going to unpack this a little bit later, but he says, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you." And we also see by his apostles that this peace is displayed as they taught the lost. In Acts chapter 10, Peter, he's had this encounter with these Gentiles, and now he's going back to his own folks and saying, "Listen, Jesus has opened my eyes. The gospel is for everybody. It's for everyone." In Acts chapter 10, verse 36, he said, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ." The second thing that we see is the peace that Jesus offers. The peace that Jesus offers. See, Jesus makes it possible for us to be at peace with God. And this is so important. Because I think oftentimes people want the peace of God, but we miss out on the key factor that there's first got to be peace with God. Peace with God. And Jesus made this possible. He made peace with God possible. In Luke chapter 2, we again see the story of the angels coming, and they say, "Peace on earth." And oftentimes we take that as a fairy tale. Oh, there's peace on earth, like Oprah giving out cars. Here's some peace for you, and some peace for you, and some peace for you. But you got to read the rest of the verse. Because he did come to bring peace on earth, but the rest of the verse says, to those whom God is pleased. To those whom God is pleased. So the next question is, well, how can I satisfy and please God? And the answer to that is, you can't. Jesus came and satisfied and bridged the gap between what God required and what man could not offer. See, Jesus made peace with God possible. This is what bridges the gap. So now we can have peace with God. How do we have peace with God? Through this word called justification. So justified by faith, then we have peace with God. Romans 5:1, write that down. Justification, it means not guilty. This comes through grace and redemptions. Romans 3:24. Now, justification is not that you didn't do anything. It's you did do something. We were found guilty, but through Christ, now we are under his blood. We're under his covering. And now God looks at us through Jesus. He's justified us. Redemption comes through Jesus' blood as the propitiation or payment for sin, Romans 3:25. Thus God is the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ, Romans 3:26. So, we now have peace with God through justification, and then from there we see peace with God, and we have this reconciliation that takes place as well. Colossians 1, verse 20 through 22, it says this. It says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. That is incredible. The work that Christ did to present us without blemish, without accusation. We were guilty, but Christ paid the penalty that was due. The next thing that we see is the peace that Jesus offers. So first we saw that he offers peace with God. And here's the next thing that we see. There's also peace with mankind. So Jesus made peace with God possible. Now he makes peace with mankind possible. Jesus breaks down the barriers between mankind. There was a strong need for peace amongst men because we live in a world of diversity. Right? There's racial differences. There's ethnic differences. There's political differences. There's economic differences. There are lifestyle differences. Diversity is what represents this church. But when you look at creation, man is the only created being that diversity can result in hostility. And it's a result of sin, because the differences are beautiful, and they are what make us unique in who we are. But when sin enters the picture, the racial differences lead to racism. The ethnic differences can lead to prejudice. The political differences lead to wars. Economic differences lead to envy. Lifestyle differences lead to arrogance. And again, we see this disruption of peace. This was not the way that God intended for it to be, with this hostility. But if you have peace with God, a byproduct or a sign or evidence that you have peace with God is when you got peace with your brother. When you've got peace with those who are around you, you can't say that you've got peace with God, yet you look at another individual and relegate them to being less than you, no matter what condition they are in. If you have peace with God through Jesus, then you are to have peace with those around you. See, 2 Corinthians 5:18, it talks about this ministry of reconciliation. It says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The ministry of reconciliation. This is what God has called us to. So you are to be a peacemaker amongst your family, amongst your friends. This ministry of reconciliation. We represent Christ. We are his ambassadors. We are to look like him. But here's the difficult part. When you talk about peace with mankind, you talk about peace with other people. That can be difficult. Because you remember what folks have done to you. You remember how folks hurt you, let you down. And sometimes there's this difficulty to reconcile or to be at peace with others in your life because you know what they have taken you through, be it at a young age, be it in a relationship. And sometimes there's hostility towards others. Now here's what I want you to see when it comes to making peace with others. Let's be real. There's hostility that we all face with relationships or people in our life. But what making peace with mankind looks like, what making peace with your brother or your sister looks like, it let me tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like I've got to go up and hug you. I've got to invite you over for dinner. I've got to call you on the phone and chop it up. That's not what making peace means. Making peace with your brother or sister when it comes to hostility takes place in your heart. And it happens when you say, what I'm doing is I am relinquishing. I am letting go the judgment or the condemnation that I hold against you in my heart. I am releasing it. I am letting it go. I'm giving it over to Jesus. It's under the blood. I am setting you free of my condemnation. That is what making peace looks like. It doesn't mean I got to call you up and say, hey, come over for dinner. That's not what that you can. But to make peace is to say, God, I'm going to allow you to do a work on my heart. Because oftentimes the prayers that we pray are, God, fix them. Fix the person. And God's going, wait a minute. I'm talking to you. I want to do a work in your heart. I want to open your eyes to what forgiveness looks like, because I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to walk in peace. And there's an enemy at war against that peace. But for you to have it, a work's got to take place in your heart first. So this is what we see. Now, we don't like to talk about this because we're in church and all. We're good old Southern Baptists, I know. But what happens when you have hostility towards God? What happens when you got bitter feelings, emotions, thoughts towards God? When something didn't happen the way you thought it would, or you were assured that it would happen? When something was taken from you? When you were sure that they would live and they died? When you were sure that relationship was going to work out and it didn't? When you were sure you were going to have that job and you didn't get it? Or you've been on that job for years and years and you got let go? What do you do in those moments when you say, God, I've been trusting you, believing, praying, fasting, going to church, leading my family, leading my wife? And you look at your bank account and there ain't much in there. You look at your health. God, I've been praying and walking by faith, and the doctor says, hey, we see this spot. What do you do when you've got hostility towards God? When you said, okay, God, your word said this, but I feel this way. I feel like you're distant. I feel like you're not hearing me. I feel like this, what I've been taught my whole life, it feels like I don't even know if I can believe it. I'm confused. I set my hopes and dreams on it, and it didn't work out the way I thought it would. What do you do when you got hostility towards God? Now, the next thing I want to show you is how God offers peace with yourself and how he also reconciles those thoughts and that hostility that you might have. See, Jesus, he offers an internal peace that is unfazed by your past and unhindered by the world. An internal peace that you can have with yourself. Because here's the thing. When I look at my past, when I look at the things that I've done, oftentimes when it comes to reconciling and engaging in this peace, oftentimes, it's a whole lot easier for me to make peace with you than it is for me to make peace with me. Sometimes it's easier to forgive you than it's easier to forgive my own self. Because I know me. You know you. You know all the things you've done. You know the ones that you've hurt. You know the ones that you've let down. And let's say you finally get to a place where you've got this peace that has come to you in a particular situation. Praise God. Then it seems like here comes the world trying to steal that peace away again. You got the culture trying to steal it, news trying to steal it, the doctor report that's trying to steal it, the counselor call from school about your kid, unexpected bill shows up, the hot water heater broke, the car broke down, supervisor called you in the office. And you find yourself in a place like Paul was in the Caesarean jail in Acts chapter 24, where he is discouraged. The Bible says that an angel came and ministered to him and says, listen, take courage. You got more to go. But you find yourself discouraged and you're battling with finding peace. But here's what I want you to see. Your hostility with man, your hostility maybe towards God, the struggle to find Jesus in it all. It's a struggle, but listen, your struggle becomes his opportunity to display who he truly is. To display who he truly is. Because here's the thing with your peace. If you just see peace in a holistic, in a tranquil way, you're going to miss it because your peace, the peace that God gives you, was purchased at a price. At a price, it was purchased, and we can't get that twisted. It cost Jesus his life. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, for your transgressions and mine. He was crushed for our iniquities. Here it is. Upon him was the chastisement or the punishment that brought us peace. For you to get peace, it caused him punishment. it cost him chastisement. Because of our transgressions, he was wounded. For you to walk in peace and have the peace of mind that you have, it cost Jesus his life. It cost him punishment. That's why you can't take the peace of God as something that's just flippant, as something that's just an emotion or feeling, because it's not. The peace that Jesus gives is himself. He sacrificed himself, and he says, I'm offering you myself, because you might have things one moment and the next you don't. You might have something that you relied on and trusted in, but the next moment you might not. You got your family here one moment, but the next you might not. But the peace that I'm giving you, I purchased with my own life, and I'm giving you myself. I'm giving you myself. And then the rest of it says, and with his wounds we are healed. And that's not just physically, because we often quote that whenever we need physical healing. But he's also healed you spiritually. He's healed you emotionally. The emotional wounds that you have that war against your peace, Christ died so you can have peace in that situation. Christ died so you can have wholeness of heart and mind that are focused on him. This is why Christ died. And here's the really cool thing that I love. In John 14:28, he says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Trinity is in verse 26. You see the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son in one verse. And then here's what he says in verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Then he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. When he said, peace I give to you, he's not just letting you borrow it. He's not just loaning it out to you and saying, hey, you can hold on to it for a little while in this situation, but I'm going to need it back. No, he says, peace I leave with you. And I don't give it as the world gives it, because when the world gives it, they want to take it back. But when he gives it to us, he says, I'm placing it in your heart for you to possess and you to hold. You don't have to worry about me coming back and taking it back from you. The peace that I give you is with you forever. Forever. And again, that peace is Jesus. Oftentimes when we think about peace, one of the animals that I think of, and the Bible kind of alludes to this as well, is a lamb or a sheep. You have the illustration of the lion and the lamb, two extremes that in God's perfect peace will lie down together. The lion and the lamb will rest together. When you think about a lamb, you think about a sheep. See, sheep are peaceful animals. They don't have many teeth. They're quiet. They can't run fast. When you want to go to sleep, what do they say? Count the sheep. Count the sheep. But this is unique to me, because Jesus said this to his disciples when he sent them out. He said, I am sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. So how are you going to send an animal that ain't got hardly any teeth, that's quiet, that can't run, that is dependent on a shepherd, why are you going to send that animal out amongst wolves? Here's why. Because the sheep know who the shepherd is. The sheep know who is responsible for them. The sheep know. And he says, you're going to be able to go be launched into the world amongst wolves, and you're going to navigate just like them wolves can't touch you. Because they can't. Because you know who the shepherd is. The Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, what? I'll fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. He's with me. He's with me. He's with you. This makes all the difference in the world. He's going to make you lie down in these green pastures. He's going to restore your soul. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare this table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know who your shepherd is? That's how you can be a sheep amongst wolves. That's how you can retain the peace that you have. Because the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Because it came from your shepherd. Here's a few final things that I want to give you. So what are some solutions for peace in your life? How do we really press into Jesus? I think one is to prioritize. So you got to have the right priorities. You got to make sure that he is not just number one on the list, but he is central on the list. That he's involved in every single category. Because if you just got him number one, then you easily go down to number two and on down the list. He's not just asking to be number one on the list. He's asking to be central on the list. And when he's central on the list, he's involved in everything on the list. So we've got to prioritize. Make his will and his way the number one thing that you focus on in everything. So prioritize. I think also simplify. I think we should embrace simplification. When we look at Martha and Mary, she simplifies. She just sat at the feet of Jesus. In your life, it's easy to get caught up in hurry mode. But simplify things. Simplify. I think a third, and this is basic, but it's so true, and it's strong. The role that faith plays in your life. Faith. Faith is the antidote to fear. When those opportunities come up to doubt or to worry or to jump into anxiety, allow faith to rise up. And then the fourth that I think we overlook the most is prayer. It's pray. There are many things you're trying to tap into, but you're missing the most important thing that you should be doing, because it's going to be found in the confines of your prayer closet. It's going to be found when you're approaching Jesus and you're calling out to his name, saying, Father, align my will with yours. And you're honest. You say, I'm struggling. I want peace, but I'm struggling. I'm at war in this situation. My peace is trying to escape me, but Jesus, be my peace. So, as I close, again, we're several hours away from a new year in 2019, and all it is a changing of the date and the clock. But the way we approach it in our mind is, how can I present a new me, a more improved me? And here's one thing that confuses me. Because oftentimes we get to the place to where we say, and I hear this all the time, I want to present the best version of me. The best version of me. And I'm confused, because I'm like, what does that mean? What does it mean, the best version of you? Because when I read the text, when I read the Bible, the best that I have to offer ain't good enough. My goodness is as filthy rags. So to present the best version of me is still not good enough. And so when I look at Jesus and I look at what he requires and what he offers, I don't need the best version of me. I just need all of him. I need all of him. And he is what makes the difference. He is what comes in our life and begins to work on this process called sanctification. He begins to shape and mold us to look more like him. And I need more of him. And when you look at your life, when you look at the struggles you might have, the struggles that others might have that you've been praying for and interceding for me, I didn't have anywhere else to go. Because you don't know how low I was. You don't know how sick I was. There's medicine that doctors could not prescribe to heal my soul. You don't know how burdened I was. That's why I go to the Prince of Peace. That's why we go to the Prince of Peace, because he is the solution. He knows you inside and out. Inside and out. He knows the fears you have, the worries you have, the anxieties you have. He knows the struggle over past and decisions you've made and things you've done. But nobody else can do you like Jesus can, because he doesn't say you got to clean yourself up first before you come to me. He says, come to me and I'll do the cleansing. I'll do the work. And that's what makes the difference. And here's what I want to leave you with. It's Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. How can you be in the stuff you're in, the situation you're in, the struggles you have, and still have the peace you have? It don't make sense. But the reason I've got the peace I've got is not because I'm so good, but it's because I'm so guarded. And that's what the scripture says. He will guard your heart and your mind. Christ Jesus will do this work. And it surpasses all understanding. It will blow your own mind. When something comes your way in 2019, and you used to freak out about it, you used to jump to worrying about it, trying to fix it, but the peace of God just takes over your heart and mind. And the stuff that you used to wig out about, the stuff that you used to scramble over, you say, God, there's no amount of that that's going to change anything. But me trusting in you is what's going to change my heart. And that surpasses all understanding. And then you tell somebody that testimony and they go, well, how in the world can I have peace that surpasses all understanding? And then you let them know, hey, it's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Peace is a person. And his name is Jesus. That is the peace that Jesus wants to grant us today. So what I'm going to do something, and I feel led to do this. I want to give you the opportunity to connect with somebody. Stephen, if you come up, some of our elders, come on up. Miss Nancy, you come on up. I want to give you guys a chance to pray with someone. Some of our prayer team, come on up. Because I know for a fact that there's going to be chances and opportunities in 2019 for the peace that you have or you've experienced in 2018, that the enemy is going to come and try to steal that from you. And some of you might even be in a place right now where you are at war. You want that peace, but everything in your life is super chaotic. But you need to stop, you need to rest, and you need to trust in the Prince of Peace. For some of us, we don't have peace because we've been running too much. You're not stable. Bouncing from thing to thing. Bouncing from idea to idea. But God is calling to a place to settle down. To be still. To stop. To connect. To dive in. Whatever that is. And so I want to give you the opportunity to come and connect and pray with someone. If you need peace in some situation in your life, be it in the past, be it something that you're in now, something that is coming up, this is your opportunity to connect with somebody and to pray. If you don't know Jesus, then you don't know peace. But when you know Jesus, you know real peace. So I'm going to pray, and I want to give you guys the opportunity to do that. If you actually stand with me and just come as you feel led. It's not, I don't have to beg you to do this. If you're in that place, then you know who you are and you know you need to come and connect. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for sending your son Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. And we acknowledge this morning that we need you, Jesus. We need that peace that surpasses all understanding. We need it in our lives. We need it in our relationships. We need it in our brokenness. So now, Jesus, I pray that you would stir upon the hearts of your sons and daughters. May we surrender this morning, whatever might be trying to hold us back, even hold us to our seat. Jesus, you're challenging us to step out in faith. You're saying, if you really want me, here I am. So Jesus, I pray that we would connect with you this morning as we connect with other believers, that our faith may be strengthened. In Jesus' name, amen. Come as you feel led.